Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we gotta go with that stuff.
Pull them up on the video?
I have to, there's no time. What time is it right now? So I'm gonna, I'm gonna duplicate this thing several times. Duplicate. Pause. So I'm going to go over several of these things.
So I got
to
be that first.
Hey,
Mom,
are you ready to, for them to
see and hear you while you finish setting up? What time is it? It's after 7 o'clock. Yeah, give me another minute. Biggest reason why is because I need to make sure BlogTalk and everything is working. My test earlier seems like it's working, but this will be the actual
call. Okay. Give me 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's fine. I might need a few minutes after you're on camera.
Do my teeth look clean?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just double checking. I might need some more water later on, Rachel, just so you know.
You ready, Pamela?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's...
Hello, my friends. This is
microphone.
Oh, yep, they put that on there. Hello, my friends. This is Payman Motahede. I am the president of Freedom Law School, and we're going to talk about the federal income tax. Is it constitutional or not tonight? Just a little bit more preparations that for the presentation tonight. So just hang in there, folks. You're going to like this. Now, what I'm doing, by the way, here is I'm going to refer to some of the other videos that we have, because what that does, it saves the time of the presentation by having to not going over it, you know, the things that are repetitious. So that really helps you guys saving time. Now, by the way, I'll be, guys, what's the website, the place I'll be speaking this weekend, guys? Nation and Action, what is it? Rachel, what's in there? Nationsinaction.org. Yeah. Nationsinaction.org. Yeah. So, you at an Atlanta area. So, if you're going to be close by there anywhere, you want to meet in person, folks, and talk. You want to be there. It's a great event that you don't want to miss. Anyways, I highly recommend you consider going there. Okay. No problem. We're going to do a little last minute camera adjustment, guys. Okay. And, yes, you know, some of you may have noticed we were blocked by YouTube because they didn't like a few words that I said in the previous Freedom Hour. So we did not have, a presentation. We got one strike. You know, watch those things we cannot say. Taxes is not a big deal. But those political stuff that's current of the day, the challenge narrative, oh, man, you got to watch out for that stuff, right? So we're going to be careful not to say those things because a lot of people still, unfortunately, find us, you know, a lot of people still find us from YouTube, unfortunately. We're also ready on Rofkin, folks. We also on BitChute, right? Rofkin, BitChute. Are we on Rumble right now, guys?
Rumble, Rofkin,
but not BitChute yet. So, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, yeah. Very good. I think we're going to be ready to get started, folks. And as always, at the end, I'll be answering your questions afterwards. Okay. And, of course, that's some of my favorite parts is getting to your questions. Okay, got all this stuff right here. Yep. Okay. All right, guys. We're ready to get started. We're ready to record, guys. Let me fix my tie. I think I gotta go the other way.
Give me one more second. We're double checking the live stream.
Okay. We're doing a little check-in, folks, on some technical issues. Okay. So we'll be...
All right. I can give you a countdown
timer. Okay, let's do it.
You
zeroed
out on
my side? Yes, I am.
Recording in 3, 2, 1.
Are federal income taxes constitutional or not? That is the question I'll be giving the answer for you in this presentation. I am Payman Motahede, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. Let's go now to the U.S. Constitution answering this question before we get into federal laws to give you a clear answer on this very important question. Well, here it is from constitution.congress.gov, the official website by the federal government. And we're going to go here to Article 1, Section 8, that says Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. Okay? And it adds that, but all duties, imposed and excised shall be uniform throughout the United States. So basically, yes, the government can tax the federal government, but imposed, excises, and duties, indirect taxes must be uniform. In other words, import coming from the port in New York or Los Angeles or Miami have the same import tax rate, for example. Or oil taxes, whether you drill oil in Alaska, in California, or Nebraska, it has the same rate. Okay? Let's go now, go down further in, and we read list about taxes, that no capitation is the head tax, like decapitate, to take your head off, that's where the word capitation comes from. No head tax or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration hereinbefore directed to be taken. Census is to see the population of the United States. How many people live where? Enumeration, again, is counting, enumerate, numbering. So that's what the census is done, folks. Is it for a purpose? In case they want to do a capitation or direct tax, they got to know how to have that thing, you know, done. They got to take a number for that to do direct taxes. And there's more on direct taxes. And it says the Constitution, that representative and direct taxes shall be representatives of the states, representatives of people in the House of Representatives. That's what that means. And also direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers. In other words, how many House members are going to be in California or Florida? It depends on the population. Rhode Island gets less because it has less people. And California gets more because it has more people. So representatives in the U.S. House of Representatives, and direct taxes, both. You know, shall be apportioned. That's the key term. Divided up among the states, okay? These shall be determined by adding the whole number of other free purses and blah, 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 okay? How do I do that? Now, the 16th Amendment supposedly changed the Constitution's taxing powers, they think, because direct taxes shall be apportioned. That was a key thing. Because the apportionment was here, you know, and they want to change that thing, what they did was they proposed the 16th Amendment, which says the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. See? The goal supposedly was to don't worry about apportionment and without any regard to census or enumeration. That is supposedly the goal of the 16th Amendment. By the way, many people have written about this subject over the decades. I got a few. I know some of these, all these guys personally. Vern Holland wrote the book. He wrote, I think, late 1980s or early 1990s. Late 80s, 87. The law that always was. Proof a general tax on income is a direct tax subject to apportionment. Other books. Here's another one. Constitutional Income. Do you have any by Phil Hart? This was done about the year 2000, early 2000 years, I think it was done. What year was this? Let me see. Yep, this was done in 2000, first edition. The one that really gets into this whole direct versus indirect tax is The Biggest Loophole of All by Otto Skinner. Of course, he had the book Taxpayer versus Non-Taxpayer, and if you're the defendant, he put those two into one book here and made them all one. Here's Otto Skinner. I remember him in San Pedro, California, a city near Los Angeles. And he wrote this book in 1997. So he became really a granddaddy of this issue at that time that claims that income tax is an indirect tax. Okay, not a direct tax. Of course, the great late Urban Schiff. Yes, he wrote the book, The Great Income Tax Hoax, a very big book with a lot of good stuff in there. This book also talks about this issue, and Urban's book was written in 1984, okay, way before the book by Otto Skinner. Now, the newest book is by The Cracking the Code by Pete Hendrickson, okay, and this came out about 2000 approximately. And then a few years after that, Income Tax, Shattering the Myths by Dave Champion is the latest that, you know, talks about this issue of direct versus indirect income tax. And basically, they all, you know, they, for the most part, say that, hey, the Supreme Court said income tax is an indirect tax, but they're imposing it on you as a direct tax. How could that be? Well, we'll answer that question for you momentarily, okay? I'll tell you the trick. Income tax is constitutional, but it doesn't apply to people the way people think it does. So here we go. So you're going to go, folks, to other videos I got on this topic. I did one called Did the 16th Amendment in 1913 Permit the Creation of the U.S. Income Tax System? This is the full version. There's a short version of it also. You want to watch that video. In it, you see, folks, U.S. Supreme Court cases like here you see. This is a case of Stanton versus Baltic Mining Company of 1916. After the alleged ratification of the 16th Amendment, which was not ratified, but that doesn't matter at this point. Okay, Bruce Shaver case, Bruce Shaver versus Union Pacific Railroad Company came up, and here's the Stanton Baltic Mining Company talking about the Bruce Shaver case. And they said that by the previous ruling in Bruce Shaver case, It was settled that the provisions of the 16th Amendment conferred no new power of taxation, but simply prohibited the previous complete and plenary power of income taxation possessed by Congress from the beginning from being taken out of the category of indirect taxation to which it inherently belongs. So I say it is an indirect income tax. And Sixth Amendment conferred no new power of taxation. So basically, Sixth Amendment did not change the Constitution at all. Really, it's irrelevant. That's what the U.S. Supreme Court says, folks. Look at the wording of it, right? Now, later on, another case called Peck versus Lowness presentation says the 16th Amendment, although referred to an argument, has no real bearing and may be put out of view. As pointed out in recent decisions, multiple decisions came out at that time, folks, in the 19-teens and early 20s, the 16th Amendment does not extend the taxing power to new or accepted subjects. See, it does not give any new taxing power to Congress, repeatedly said by the U.S. Supreme Court. You want to watch this video I'm referring to here, if you know, because it really goes over stuff in more detail. So assuming you watch that, now you're wondering, well, then how did it happen? You know, is this a direct tax, indirect income tax? You know, because it seems to be a direct tax that the court has said it's an indirect tax because they're taxing you directly, you and you and you and you directly. Court says an indirect tax that you can avoid, like tax on imports you can avoid. Don't consume any imports. Tax on oil, you can avoid. Don't consume oil. Don't drive a car yourself, right? So how is it happening? Well, the direct taxes were done in the late 1700s, folks. This is the very first direct tax passed by Congress. Look at the highlighted areas. On the top line, it's an act to lay and collect a direct tax within the United States. It was enacted July 14, 1978. And it says right there, a direct tax, $2 million of dollars shall be and hereby is laid upon the United States and apportioned to the states respectively in the manner following. You see, states are all one by one that existed at the time, listed here, right? All of them at the time existed, the taxes apportioned or divided up amongst them how much each get, right? Now, we go on to Section 2 of this law that said the said tax shall be collected by supervisors, inspectors, and collectors of the Internal Revenue of the United States, right? And shall be assessed upon dwelling houses, lands, and slaves. Yep. Directly, the tax was laid on houses, lands, and slaves. There's a direct tax on those. So they did do it, folks. Several times in the early 1800s, they did more of these direct taxes on the American people, okay? And the power to do that came from but you see, they didn't do it that way. They instead, because it was so difficult to do it that way, folks, direct taxes, they had to be apportioned. And the 16th Amendment did not change the Constitution. How can they tax you in several states without apportionment among the states? The way they do it was through a loophole in the Constitution, which was abused. This is the Constitution that creates Washington, D.C., that was to be created, gave Congress the power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10-mile squares as may be by secession of the particular states, which became, folks, the District of Columbia. And the acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States. Which, again, this is D.C., folks, right? and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislatures of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. Yep. See? Exercise exclusive legislation over that district, right? And any forts, magazines, arsenal, dockyards, and other needful buildings. Yep. And to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers. Yep. You see, this is what they use. They can do whatever they want over the federal territory of Washington, D.C., and any other arsenals, magazines, dockyards, and other needful buildings that the federal government may possess. Well, here's what happened. America went to war against the Spanish government in 1895 and captured Puerto Rico, Guam, Philippines, stole these lands from the Filipino government, from the Spanish government. These people were not English-speaking, common law heritage. They spoke Spanish. Okay, they were mostly Catholic. So they could not be easily incorporated as states with such a different culture, the white America of that time, than these new acquired territories. So they left them as territories for a while. And they imposed taxes between these territories, each other, and the United States. So a case came before the U.S. Supreme Court taxing powers of the United States within U.S. territories called Downs versus Bidwell. Yep. It's a very convoluted case, 5-4, four different majority opinions, one minority opinion of four that barely lost the case. Here, Wikipedia does a pretty good job. I don't usually like to go to them, but here they do a good job of summarizing the case. It was a 1901 case in which a U.S. Supreme Court decided whether U.S. territories were subject to provisions and protections of the U.S. Constitution. See, this is the key. Okay, now, the decision narrowly held that the Constitution does not necessarily apply to the territories. That's right. Particularly those dealing with revenue, taxes, which would not be allowed by the Constitution for the states. Yeah, that's the key. When it came to dealing with revenue taxes, Congress within these territories can tax in a ways which would not be allowed by the Constitution for the U.S. Union states. They can tax the territories any way they want. Yep. And folks, what they did, basically, they created a whole new government with whole sets of laws, because Philippines, a lot of people live in the Philippines. Okay? All these millions have different set of rights than people in the states. That was never the intention of the founding fathers, for the federal government to have its own land, its own subjects. The federal government was simply given Washington, D.C., instead of the Pennsylvania where it was originally, temporarily, so it would not be under the thumb of any of the states. It would be independent. But now this little territory is being abused and has all these other lands that can make laws for taxes any way it wants without having to go by the taxing limits of the U.S. Constitution. Okay? So the minority had this scathing comment, okay, and said that the Congress has no existence and that had no authority outside the Constitution. Okay, this is a wonderful dissent by the minority. And it says, the idea prevails with some. Indeed, it has expressed an argument at the bar that we have in this country substantially two national governments. Two national governments. One to be maintained under the Constitution with all its restrictions within the Union States. The other to be maintained by Congress outside and independently of that instrument, the Constitution, by exercising such power as other nations of Earth are accustomed to, dictatorial, arbitrary powers without limits by the Constitution. That is what they did, folks. Citizen D.C., you can tax anybody you want. The minority continues, I take leave to say that if the principles thus announced should ever receive the sanction of a majority of this court, which it did, a radical and mischievous change in our system will result, and it has. Yep. We will in that event pass from the area of constitutional liberty guarded and protected by our written constitution into the area of the legislative absolutism. Yep, that means the legislature can pass laws, make laws in any way they want without any constitutional restraints like the taxing power restraints of the U.S. Constitution. It will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside the supreme law of the land finds lodgment in our constitutional jurisprudence. Yep. Well, fortunately, that evil day has been around for a while. So this case, folks, of Dallas versus Bibble, as I showed you earlier, was decided in 1901. And that gave the opening for the government to trick and deceive American people into paying income taxes they never owed in the first place. Yep. So, of course, at Freedom Law School's website, livefreedom.org, I'll be saying that based on U.S. government's official legal websites, no law requires 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. And the proof of this is in this 10-minute video that starts your journey to freedom. Those of you who have not watched it, you need to watch this and the videos that come after that, folks, okay? These short videos are key. They're essential, okay? There's a short video of this, 10 minutes, and a longer video of this, which is 41 minutes, okay? You gotta watch these videos, folks. And they cover the fundamentals that according to federal tax law from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, the Chapter 79 on definitions. It tells us right here, this is from government's own official legal website at uscode.house.gov, that when used in this title, what title? Title 26, the Internal Revenue Code. This is the federal tax laws I'm holding in my hands. Okay? All this gobbledygook paper in this tissue-thin, tiny font. Yep. That's the same thing you are seeing online, which I'm showing you. Okay? So let's go back to it. When using this title, they define all kind of things. They define the term state and United States. The term state, United States, when used in a geographical sense, what land area it covers, includes only the states and the District of Columbia. And the term state, which needs to be defined, shall be construed to include also the District of Columbia. So you have District of Columbia plus the District of Columbia, you get still the same District of Columbia. Okay? And I covered this issue in many in the videos which I just showed you in detail by Supreme Court cases. That says we must go by these definitions. Any doubt goes against the government power to tax. If you're not seeing the videos I refer to, you need to see these videos first on the front page of Freedom Law School website. Start right there if you have not done this. You should be starting here first anyways. Now, by the way, I'm going to show you that you go down to Section A30, the term United States person is defined. You think you are a United States person? Or you? You probably are not. Look at this. 7701A30 says United States person means a citizen or resident of United States, which means the citizen of District of Columbia, a citizen or resident of District of Columbia, not you in the 50 states. You are not a United States person, folks, the way the law is specifically and deliberately written. But they never bothered to tell you the United States does not mean the Union states, the 50 states, the several states. They could have, should have, but they didn't because they couldn't. They knew they couldn't. Even in 1913, the very first income tax law, after ratification, or support the ratification of 16th Amendment, which wasn't ratified, even that law applied only to U.S. territories only. Check this out, folks. Okay? This is statutes at large again, okay? The federal laws. 63rd Congress, Session 1, Chapter 16, 1913, page 166 at the top it shows, right? Here we go. Let's go to Section 1 and then Section 2. Okay, here we go. Section 2, here it is, okay? This income tax law, read the how that part. Okay, every citizen of the United States, okay, every person residing in the United States, the key word is United States. You see several times the term United States in here. From all sources, every citizen of the United States, residing in the United States, right? Every business, trade, or profession carried on in the United States, see, it's all dependent upon the United States. Rate of tax is 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and 6%. You go continue on this law. Here it is. We go down to H. This is page 177 of this law, 1913, right? Here we go. Look at this incredible definition, folks. That the word state or United States, right, when used in this section shall be construed to include any territory, Alaska, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the Philippine Islands when such construction is necessary to carry out its provisions. Look at that. Philippines is there, folks. Alaska was a territory there. Hawaii was there also as a territory. Even back then, they never mentioned, included any of the 50 states because they could not. Because America is not a country. We are 50 countries in the Union. States never gave the power to federal government to tax you in direct way that they were trying to do. The 16th Amendment was a ruse, was a distraction. It's like, look at that, and they rob you in the back pocket. You're looking at that, they rob you on the back pocket. It was deception. It made you think and believe that the government has the power, the federal government has the power to tax you in the states, but it does not. And the Supreme Court cases were just a nice distraction. The court told them, look, it cannot be a direct tax, but no one argued. No one pointed out in those cases that the law only applies to federal territories. For Shaver, Stanton versus Baltic Mining Company, Peck versus Lowe, all these cases, no one argued before the court that law does not apply to people of the 50 states that are not federal government workers anyways. So if you don't argue something, you're not going to win based upon that argument that you did not bring. That's what happened there. Okay? Now, to show you more about this issue, let me tell you, prove it to you. Let me show you that over the decades, folks, they took out these U.S. territories one by one. For example, you all know, for example, Philippines is an independent country since after World War II, so it was taken out of the definition, right? Alaska became a state. And look at Hawaii. And look at this, folks. Look at Hawaii statehood, okay? From archives.gov. Became a state in August 21st, 1959. And as soon as Hawaii became a state, it no longer was listed subject to the definition as United States or state, which is the same thing, right? Look at this. This is 1960, folks. Public law, July 12, 1960, to pass this law. Okay. Internal Revenue. Okay. Look at this. Here we are. They talked about Section 7701A9 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1954 is relating to a definition of United States. Is amended by striking out the territory of Hawaii. See, why was it territory? It was included, the territory of Hawaii, in the United States. That was subject to tax. Right? And you look at this. J, Section 7701A10 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1954, relating to the definition of state, is amended by striking out the territory of Hawaii. See? Because now Hawaii became a state, well, the states of the Union, no longer subject to the territorial tax, which are based upon based on U.S. territories. And look at this, folks. Check this out. Okay. The amendments contained in subsection A through J, which you just read above, of this section, shall be effective as of August 21st, 1959. Yep. As of the day that Hawaii became a state and no longer as a part of the United States, no longer a part of states, no longer subject to income taxes. Remember, this date, August 21st, 1959, is deliberately chosen because that is when Hawaii became a state. This is no accident, folks. This shows clear intent, exact day Hawaii became a state, no longer is part of the United States or states. Yep. Yeah, for income tax purposes. That's right. So, folks, that shows conclusively the income tax is constitutional. However, it does not apply to vast numbers of Americans. 99% of Americans are not required to file income tax. And in our website, and our folks, you got to go, if you have not gone, to livefreenow.org. Watch on the front page, okay, the short video right there in the front page that we start with, okay? And then you go at the end, folks, it puts you automatically a short list of other six videos, folks. You got to watch these short videos, okay? These ones, folks, really give you the key information you need, and many of them have longer, more detailed videos on these topics to conclusively prove everything I say from government's own legal websites, which is the only people by law that must pay federal income tax are citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and federal workers. If you're not a federal worker, then judge, right? Any federal worker or bureaucrat, neither are you a citizen or resident of Washington, D.C., by law, you don't have to pay any federal income tax. It's completely constitutional. And they just deceive you to voluntarily contribute because you felt it was your patriotic duty to support the swamp. Okay? Now you can stop supporting the swamp because you don't have to. If you want to, you can. But by law, you don't have to. So with that, folks, I want to encourage you to go to our website at livefreenow.org, folks, and take the 7 steps there to live free of IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Let's free America. I'm going to review them for you. You need to do your homework. Step 1, that based on U.S. government's official legal websites, no law requires 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax, right? Step two is a deception we need to unravel in your brain. Do you think that filing a 1040 income tax confession trap is the safest, smartest way to keep the IRS from hurting you? No, the opposite is true. You hang yourself. You put the rope around your neck when you fill out those 1040 confession trap forms on the penalty of perjury and give IRS all the power they need to hang you. So do you think that the IRS is the most powerful government agency that at any time can empty your bank account and steal your money if you do not file a 1040 income tax confession traps? Well, that's a lie also, because IRS, again, gets its power when you file the return, the dadgum confession form, put the rope around your neck. That's where the money of the IRS comes from, substantially. And the next step now, step 4, is recognizing the IRS is bluff. Yeah, actually, the bluff is a very important part. Wizard of Oz is the media telling the IRS is God. That's the media, folks. Trying to blow the IRS out more than what it is. It's a bunch of incompetent people sleeping on the job, bored and dissatisfied. And the computers are 1960s COBOL assembly language. Okay, overburdened. You know, they just fooled you into thinking the IRS has power over you when it does not. They're pretending and you've fallen for that. And the totem dog at the bottom is yours truly, Freedom Law School. And you are the American people on the left who have been suckered into falling for the Wizard of Oz. So I need to help you free your mind of all this. Step 4, folks, I have not filed or paid any U.S. income taxes since 1990, not even $1. And the IRS knows this fact very well, yet the IRS has never attempted to indict or put me in prison for not having filed or paid any income taxes for almost 30 years. Why? Why, folks? Everybody knows if you don't file income tax, you go to prison. Well, I've been telling people not to do it, and I've not done it. Why the IRS has not put me in prison? The number one enemy IRS in America is me. Why am I not in prison? You say, no, I know the law and I'll beat them. You see? Bottom line is, folks, when you equip yourself with knowledge like I have done and I prepared like I have done, IRS is easy to beat. I can do it, and so can you, folks. And I'm here to help you do that, folks. And the victories are there if you go, you see that. It's a myth that the IRS is this powerful Godzilla. It's not. The reality is ours as a weakling little rat, okay? Just pretending to be this powerful thing they are not. Step 5, folks, you're going to ask questions. Yes, ask questions and send petitions to U.S. Congress to lawfully and civilly free yourself from mass deception, robbery, and slavery, folks. This is critical. So I'm going to open this page and show it to you, folks, you know, that you don't have to pay tribute to the beast. Because if you pay tribute to the beast, you are worshiping the beast, folks. Yes. You don't have to do that, my friends. Okay? Here. I got this page on here. And at the bottom of this page is 4 different petitions on income taxes, income tax withholding, Social Security taxes, and 1099 and self-employment taxes. And when you go to each of these pages, like the individual income tax one, it shows you how to step by step and lawfully free yourself for filing and paying income taxes, withholding, and so forth. And you see on these pages, the sample petitions are right there, folks. And download them for free. I invite you to download them for free and send it to your congressman. Here you are. Here's one of them, okay? Just we help you fill in the blank. Just send it to your lawmakers and ask them to investigate this income tax collection that's being imposed on Americans based upon deception, folks. Yep. And the last paragraph of his letter, which cites all the laws, which I showed you, and more from government official legal websites, here's what it says. It's the most powerful thing, folks, okay? You, first of all, humbly tell your congressman that you're not liable to pay income tax and that you appreciate the service of the congressman for taking the time to fully read your letter. You want them to fully read your letter, your petition. And if by reading this letter and the attached laws, okay, court cases, the congressman can show you that you have somehow misinterpreted these statutes, regulations, or U.S. Supreme Court decisions, and that you do owe federal income taxes, you will gladly pay all taxes due and will consider such payment to be your fair share. Very humbly, folks, you will be happy to pay your fair share if they can show you you're wrong, if they can refute all the government laws which are attached to letters. See, all, everything is attached. All this stuff, all the laws you refer to in the letter are attached. Supreme Court cases, all attached, okay? But then your letter also concludes and says this. When your independent research verifies my discovery that the U.S. individual income tax does not apply to average Americans like me in the 50 states, I urge you to educate all the Congress members about this matter and see if they agree that this justifies conducting an investigation to expose the truth about this government renegade conspiracy and put an end to impoverishing Americans. I look forward to your timely, specific, and on-point reply. Sincerely, Sanyane. You are right now making a record by certified mail sending these letters to your congressman for free. Therefore, free future download as is your right, as your duty as an American to read about the law and then ask the lawmakers who are supposed to represent you in the third government to correct you if you're wrong. I've never seen one congressman ever be able to refute anything in any of the letters. We've done hundreds and hundreds and, I don't know, thousands, I should say, of these letters. People, thousands of these have gone to Congress, but not one response I've seen where they could refute anything you say. So you cannot voluntarily stop giving money to your enemies in the deep state who are swore to try to destroy you, folks. You've seen all evidence of it all around you the last few years. Just look around, you see it, you know? So now you should go to step six. Step six, folks, what you want to do is key. Because people say, hey, man, I'm still afraid of the government, the IRS. What do? I'm nervous. Well, step six is for you. Freedom Mosque will give you a $7 million guarantee. Yes, Freedom Mosque had a program called the Royal Freedom Package, which is now a Restore Freedom Plan for 20 years. That I can show you, and that will help you to lawfully stop filing and paying income tax with our Restore Freedom Plan. And Freedom Law School will keep the IRS from levying or taking by force of levy any of your money for a minimum of 7 years, or Freedom Law School will reimburse you up to $1 million for every year, single year that you are with a Freedom Law School member. Yes, every single year. Now, that doesn't mean after 7 years they're going to take your stuff. No, that means that it's a guarantee. We'll fight for you and help you win forever as long as you're a member, okay? But that just to go to show you what a confidence, knowledge, and experience Freedom Law School has to beat the IRS, that I can give you such an ironclad guarantee that nobody in universe can give you such a guarantee. stop paying our enemies. Have more money for yourself now. Live better now for the future. Support Freedom Law School and other freedom causes, organizations, and statesmen. And we need to get elected to the Congress of the United States to get our country back. We need more honest statesmen like Congressman Dr. Ron Paul, who ran for president. Yeah, we got to get people like him. They need funding to get the word out about themselves to the rest of the American people. And you're the key in doing that. You, my friend, every one of you must take part, folks. We can't do it alone. Alone, it will not work, okay? We must all join hands together. And Freedom Law School is a spoke of the wheel that's bringing all of you together. I started this stuff 30 years ago, 1992. All this hair was all completely white. Started doing this thing. And my vision was we can live better lives and get our government back, our country back. By not paying our enemies, the dumb Republicans, the Republicrats, same party, right? Two heads of the same beast. They don't represent the American people anymore, do they? And not everybody, every one of you can qualify and should be part of this. It's affordable for every one of you. We have a set price for this plan, okay? But if you cannot afford it, apply for scholarship and we'll drop the price to whatever it takes to make it affordable for you, people to join, and everything will be done for you. All you get unlimited consultation, unlimited letter writing, unlimited help. If it's CPA or attorneys needed, Freedom Law School will pay for it. You pay zero hourly fees to anybody to give you free. All you have to do, my friends, is to take your part in Restore Freedom Plan. That's it. You do your part in Restore Freedom Plan, and you'll get the peace of mind you want. And you do your part in taking America back. One last step is left for you to do, and that is to tell other people about it, folks. Yes, step seven. If you just get you, nobody else, that will not work. We want you to tell other people about Freedom Law School, about Restore Freedom Plan, educate them, and this is your freedom opportunity. You can get paid up to $5,000 for each American you can free with our Freedom Opportunity Plan, which is basically, folks, talk to other people. Tell your family members, friends, coworkers about us. Text it to them. Put it on your Facebook page. Email to them our website, livefreenow.org. And just spread the seeds. Spread it wide. Some will germinate. Some won't. Just keep doing it out there. And you and your friends, everybody does that. I had a guy join recently. He said, "Hey, Mon, I came to your event. Man, you just blew me away." So I asked my friend next to me, "Hey, is Paymon this guy for real?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, I'm in." Then my wife was skeptical. Well, guess what? We had another friend of us. The other friend of us, we asked her, "Hey, is Paymon for your muscle for real?" And she said, "Yes." And with that, my wife said, "She's in." Everybody will not join the first time they hear about it from you or other people. But enough of us out there go out there, talk about it. They hear about it from you, your neighbor, your brother, your coworker. They start saying, "Maybe I should look at this thing. Maybe there is something to this thing." And then they say, "Wow, this is it. I'm in." And that's how we'll get our country back. You'll be free, and America will be free as well. So my friends, congratulations. This was no accident. You were looking for freedom of the truth. You found it. Now is your turn to continue educating yourself at livefreedom.org. I hope you accept my invitation into your hands with me and other freedom-minded Americans and have you live free and have America be a free country once again. Okay. Almost 50 minutes, but shy of it. We are going to go to your questions, my friend. I did not pull a book to throw them off yet. Sorry. Herman Schiff's great book cover. But here it is. Let's see. Today is June 30th. Let's put the call number on the screen for those of you have questions about this or other topics. And I think somebody had this paperwork here is for someone who had, somebody named Carlson sent some paperwork. I'm going to go over his question in a little bit. Carl, if you call, that would be better because I could ask you more questions about what you said here as well. But let's put the number on the screen to answer your questions. The call number is area code 657. What's the rest of it? I don't remember that, guys. Put the number on the screen, please, so you can take questions. 383-1755. Yep. Let's. So when you call the number, folks, push 1 on your telephone keypad. That will let us know you have a question, and we'll take your question one person at a time. So who do we have as caller first? Area code 408. Anybody else?
Can you hear me?
Area code 209-5 what? 505. Oh, three. Oh, we got more. Hold on. We got a lot more than I thought. 347. And 571. Well, guess what, folks? Please be short, sweet, to the point of your question so that I can get to everybody else's question timely and they don't get tired and go away, okay? So call for America 408. You are first. Give me all of you for privacy, only your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please. All right? Call for America 408. Let's start with you.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Are you Rosa, there?
Can you hear me?
Wait, caller?
Yes, can you? Yeah, can you hear me?
I don't hear him.
Hello?
For some reason. My sound is
Hello?
Not working. You hear him talk?
Yeah, I hear.
Sorry, my friend. We got a little technical sound issue. Give us a minute.
Okay.
Fix it. Because
okay.
If you can fix it, I can hear you better rather than somebody else. Put the microphone loud there for me to hear and repeat for everybody else. So just give us a few more seconds. Hopefully we'll get this issue worked out.
No problem.
Okay. I guess I have to hear it from over there. So make your question extra short because I have to repeat your question for everybody. Anybody hears it? Just me? Okay. Very good. Anybody hears it? Just fine. All right. What's your first name? The state you're calling from, and then your question, please.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so the name is Carlton, and I had sent you some paperwork. Basically, I'm generally aware of the information you're talking about going back a few years. The paperwork shows that I filed a 1040 as a zero return for 2019, and asking for anything that was withheld to be returned. So it was strictly a zero return, and I've since received an NOD, and I have to process this over the next the next 1 month basically. I was wondering, it seems like once you file, you're kind of in trouble because you're on the hook for a given year because you have signed you've signed the bottom of that thing. But are there any remedies for my case where I have filed basically a zero return for a given year and now have an NOD?
Okay. Well, let me see. You got a notice of deficiency that, Bob, this is for your 2018 that I see in front of me. You have the tax return.
Yes.
Yes. And
correct.
I see you have the form 4852, substitute for form W-2 wage tax statement. And you have also attached to it a 2018 miscellaneous income 1099 attached to it, along with the 2018 tax return, in which it says you asked for a refund of $10,000 and change. Did you get that refund or not?
I did not, no.
So they gave you no refund. Instead, they came to harass you for more money. Correct? And the original, the thing is that you had no withholding from your paycheck because you were an independent contractor, correct?
That's correct. For one of us, no withholding, but for another person, some withholding. But keep in mind, there was a 1099 there, so there was monies paid for work, but yeah, nothing withheld for part of that. That's correct.
Okay.
But of course, all reported to the IRS by the payer, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, this is not an easy question to answer, okay, quite frankly, because once you do something like this, you know, the tax court, they don't like it. The judges are just not honest about this, and they're going to probably use it against you, you know, and you're probably going to lose anyhow because they're going to disregard the stuff. You follow Pete Hendrickson methods, correct?
I'm sorry, say again, please?
This method of Pete Hendrickson, correct? In his book?
Correct. Yes, that's correct.
And he provides no support, does not answer your questions, right?
Unfortunately, that is correct.
Yeah. I told Pete, if you have this stuff out, you better support people for it. You know, people follow you, and then you leave them hanging. So now they're not going to come to rescue you for the mess that Peter made for Carlton and others. You know, so
right.
Of course, in the first place, you will do none of these again. But I probably wouldn't even bother with the tax card because your time and energy will be spent and lose at the end anyhow. You know, IRS residents is in such a dire straits in crisis that they're not coming after small amounts. This is only about $10,000 or so. So there's a good chance your case will be given to a toothless collection agency. It has no power to levy account, paycheck, or anything else. You know, that's what I would probably, if it was me.
Let me just add, if you look at the NOD, at the top of the NOD, it's actually $47,000. Their deficiency in tax is $47,000.
Well, I need to see the entire gross deficiency to be able to give you a better analysis because this is only the first three pages of it. So I would suggest a private one-on-one consultation where I have the entire gross deficiency. Then we're going to discuss more detail and what to do. At this point, I'm not inclined to want to go to tax court, but maybe you would want to go. Let me see the whole notice deficiency in a one-on-one consultation, and let's analyze the option a little bit further. You have a little bit more time to go to tax court, July 12th. So you got a little bit of time.
Correct.
We got time to go right away. Let's get on it right away, okay? I'm leaving town Friday.
Okay.
Let's go to and crisis in Atlanta. I'll be back Wednesday, Thursday, before I go to Red Bull Expo. So I would suggest you send for a consultation right away. And Wednesday, when I come back, you'll be one of the first people I should be talking to. You should send it back right away so we have it. What I get on Wednesday, you already have an appointment with you. So you have time to act or not act. You have a choice to decide. Okay?
Perfect. I'll set up for that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, my friend. All right, let's go to call from area code 209. You're live, my friend. Give me your first name. I heard about it, and then your question, please. Are you there? Area code 209. You're live. One more time, guys. Fresno, California, 209 area code. You there? Announce yourself, please. Area code 505, call from New Mexico. You're live. First name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hello, Payman. We've spoken before, so gratefully for your help. I made the mistake before I knew of you to allow a senior tax advisor to file taxes on a real estate sale. Back in 2019, you and I spoke about this. You said since I had signed or had the the tax advisor sign on my behalf that I was liable to pay the tax. The IRS is now contacting me to, because I haven't been able to pay the tax. It was like $23,000, $24,000. Now it's $30,000 with fines. I have not enough income to pay any of the increments that they offer, 12 months at $2,850 each of 12 months, or a minimum of $445 for 60 months or 5 years. I don't have the income to barely survive at this point. So I don't know quite what to do to file for hardship or offer a compromise, form 5656B, or what would you advise me to do, Payman? Thank you.
Well, that's a tough question without knowing more about the circumstances of your bad case. Okay, I could ask you a few questions. I can give you some help, but I really need a one-on-one detailed consultation to go through the nitty-gritty of your particular situation, my friend, okay? But let me ask you some questions to answer. How much do you make for a living? How old are you? Do you have your wife or children? And, yes, let's start with those.
Yeah, I have 3 children and 2 grandchildren, which I have no money to support. I basically, after all of my debts and rent and so forth, I have about $400 a month to live on, basically. I can't live.
How much do you make a month? And also, was the last that you filed the 1040 tax form?
That was the 2019. And I'm unemployed. I'm a scientist. I have an institute, but I have no income at all at this point, except from as a signatory trustee on a rental property. I get something from caring for the owner of the property, but that's about it.
Gotcha. Easy answer. If you can get a hold of somebody, IRS, you can go maybe a local office. They have you fill out a form, a collection information sheet, and you put on your current situation, and they will list you as uncollectible because they have to leave you a minimal amount to survive for you and your family, and you definitely are in that category. You have to tell them under oath all your income and assets and liabilities, which don't have much assets or income anyways, and they're going to leave you alone because you have nothing to take, so you're fine. Fill out that form, then you have nothing, they'll leave you alone for a year or two minimum or longer. Okay?
So I have to go into an office and find out what the number of this form is. How do I find out, how to file the form?
The IRS collection form. Okay. Let me give the number for that. Let's see, what's IRS collection form? Our information collection statement that the IRS has, form 433. From 433.
F is in Frank.
About the number. Don't worry about the number. They'll give it to you. Don't worry about it. Tell them, look, just go walk in the local office. I don't have any money, and I got this debt. I want to fill out the form. I don't have no money. They'll give you the form. The telephone IRS is not answering because they're so overwhelmed.
They never answer.
I know. So I'm saying go to an in-person office. They're not going to bother you anyhow because you have no money for them to take anyway. What is your source of income? You didn't answer that. Where do you get Social Security, disability? Where's your money source?
No, I have none of that. So, the only thing is this signatory trustee, kind of serving a property that's in a trust.
Stop. Don't worry. They're not gonna bother you. Just you be fine. You know, IRS is not God looking to find you. Okay? It's not like that. What's your name, by the way? You didn't give me your first name.
Sperry. Thank you, Payman.
Sperry?
Sperry, S-P-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, Sperry, yeah. Sperry, you, but you're fine. Look, just because you get some dumb computer-generated letter from the IRS doesn't mean you have to be scared. That letter is not written by a human being watching you. They're not. There's no human being watching you. It's just a dumb computer. okay? You can ignore it or go walk it first.
Well, they have this new branch that they've hired called CBE, which is serving the IRS to call people. They called me as a debt collector, essentially. And so, you know, they're looking to, you know, get the money from me kind of thing.
Oh, congratulations. They just gave you a case to a toothless private collection agency, which has no power to attack your bank account, paycheck, this trust money, anything. All they can do is to beg you for the money. That is it. And you simply say, don't have the money. Sorry.
May I ask, Payman, last time we spoke, which was several months ago, you said, yes, the IRS can go into my bank account and clean it out, basically, if they want to.
I understand, but not the private collection agency you just mentioned that they gave the case to.
No. They won't do that. They say they're just a debt collector. They don't have the ability to clean out my bank account, but...
Right.
If they go into my bank account, which doesn't have hardly any money in it,
I have a credit union. Look, there's a call from America 347 and 571 waiting. As a respect for them, not me, them, you need to stop and listen to me. You listen to facts. You keep confusing things. Okay, listen to me. Answer what I say only. Your case has been given from the IRS to a private collection agency which has no power to take your money by force. Do you understand that? Yes or no?
Yes, I do, Payman. Yeah.
Stop.
They said they were going to follow up. The IRS itself was going to follow up and blah, blah, kind of thing.
Nonsense. They'll say lie to you whatever it takes to get you to pay them. But the case will not go to the IRS for another 2 years or 5 years or maybe never. Who knows? Okay? I covered this issue in my previous Freedom Hour, which I did, recently, in fact. And IRS is giving cases to private toothless collection agencies. Okay? In fact, I'm going to bring that video up for you so that here we go. Here it is. I'm going to bring it in my screen, okay? Here's called this. You see it? IRS is failing as a collection agency, sending cases to toothless private collection agencies. It was uploaded June 2020. Watch that video and rest easy. I'm going to right now. Go to the other calls, my friend, okay? So I love you, brother.
Could I ask one more thing, please?
Yes, go ahead.
Very quick. Well, you said it might be another 2 years before they came after me or whatever, but it's been since 2019 that I've supposedly owed them this $22,000 that has now supposedly gotten to $30,000.
Right. I said minimum of 2 years. Your case obviously is through with the collection agency because IRS has not sent you a letter. So your case is still with the private collection agency.
They're sending me letters that I just haven't quite received. They need to be forwarded to me, but they are sending me letters.
Who's they? You keep mixing these they. Who's they?
Yeah, no, the IRS, they... both organizations, CBE and the IRS, have sent me letters. I haven't received them yet.
Let the IRS write to you, then contact me. All right? Until then.
Okay.
You're welcome, my friend. All right, let's go to call from area code 347. First name. State how you heard about it, and then your question, please. Call from America 347. Are you there?
Oh, 347?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know I was on. Sorry.
You're on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, you seem like me. All right, let me just turn this off. Oh, okay, how you doing, Payman?
Great.
This is Fred. And actually two questions. The first one is I use the W-4, the one prescribed, and there was some compliance initially, but then as time went on, it seemed like they just rolled things back, and I had to write a number of letters to let them know that what they were doing was wrong in no uncertain terms. And then they just went completely south. And so now, all this time when I had submitted correspondence, they never responded. It was like they would just completely ignore me altogether. So this is with respect to employment. So I was considering basically setting the stage for a civil action in state court as opposed to in federal. Because I do know that the state law has to be in compliance with federal law when it comes to taxes, because I understand New York State tax law. That's the first question, and I have a second one after that.
I don't know what your question is. Yeah. There's a problem.
So what would you perceive as the appropriate action as far as going after the employer?
What?
They're making unauthorized deductions. If I had established myself as being exempt, and they're ignoring it, and they're making deductions to which I have not consented, then that means there has to be some recourse to address that.
Look, there is no simple easy answer for that. I wish there was, but there isn't. I wish I had one for you. Why haven't you joined the Restore Freedom Plan, my friend, so I can help you? Fred, you've been on the call this with us for a while, calling it. Why haven't you joined so I can help you? I need to see the details of your situation with your employer to maybe do something. Without no details, I have no magical answer. Like a doctor that's magical, make it go away. I have no such thing. Everybody wants it, but there is no such thing. I got to know what happened between you and the employer from making the suggestions. I have no silver bullet for you. Okay?
The second question is, again, this goes back to the W-9 when dealing with certain companies that you would sort of like affiliate companies, they request a W-9. And going through the things that I've learned from Freedom Law School, in the definition of words or the words that are used, which I now know the definition of, it's like it would be self-incriminating to even put in a W-9.
Do you have someone request a W-9 for you to fill out?
Say it again?
Has someone asked you to give a W-9 form? Is that the problem?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Look, the problem is that we show the law to the third parties like employers. They're, can I believe that? Well, the law says this. I can see it, but no, we've done it a different way all these years. My accountant, we couldn't have possibly done it wrong all these years. No way. No, this cannot be the law. That doesn't make any sense. No, we're going to continue what we've always done. I can't believe this. I can't believe my own eyes. So that's the problem you run into. And I'm no magician to give you a pill that could change his mind, even though the truth is right in front of him. I've echoed my ear, by the way, guys. Could you guys take the echo? I hear myself speaking with echo. So I got to somehow help the employer, this third party, understand things. So if you want my assistance, you need to take part to Restore Freedom Plan America. I'm only one guy, okay? And you can apply for the Restore Freedom Plan. If you're low income, no problem. Apply for a scholarship, I give you a discount. The program is right now $9,900 to start for the first year. Second year, is scheduled to be $6,000 a year. But I can lower as low as $1,000 a year if you're low income. Give you unlimited help about these things. So I have no magic answer to give you. I would say apply for a scholarship. You want to restore freedom plan. We're going to look at this up more closer with the acclimatous help I got. And do the best thing realistically possible. But no quick, simple, magic answers to the phone are provided by this doctor. I do not fix this stuff like any more than a doctor can fix your back pain, knee pain, eye pain, stomach pain on a telephone call. Right? He tell you, come see me. I can examine you. Oh, no, doctor, on the phone, just tell me what should I take. My back pain, knee pain, eye pain, stomach ache. The doctor will never give you an answer like that, would he? So that's what you need to do. Get with us. Anything else, Fred? Hey,
thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Well, I want to help you, my friend. But I need the details of what's going on here to be able to possibly do something. Okay. Let's go to the call from your coach, 571. Other guys, I clear myself in the right ear. Just, you know, the sound people. What's your name, my friend?
It's 571.
Yes.
Okay, hi. This is Don. I'm calling from South Carolina. I learned of you through a friend who's a customer of yours and also Jeff Berwick. And I only learned of you a number of days ago, so I'm going through the videos now.
Okay.
My question is this. I'm starting a new job with a large corporation on Tuesday, July the 5th. They're asking me to fill out the I-9 paperwork, which is proof of a passport, a driver's license, et cetera. I want to sort of nip this in the bud. How do I let them know that I'm exempt so they don't start withdrawing federal taxes?
All that.
I plan to become a customer. So.
We have no customers. We have students. We have American Patriot to work with us. And we have no customers, just so you know that. And
well, I plan to be a student maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. Folks, I'm a freedom guy. I'm not a tax guy. I'm not a tax money guy, savings money guy. I'm none of those. I'm here to restore freedom. In the process, I'll help you save a lot of money so you can free your money for you and your family and America to get it back. But I have no customers and the students at best. So we're going to be working for freedom. Into this. On our website, if you go, it takes you to our website, okay? Under the ask questions, okay? Step 5 on the front page, okay? You click on the cartoon, okay?
Yeah.
And on the petition page, you go at that now at the bottom of the page, and you will see 4 golden color circles. The second one from bottom left is free yourself of income tax withholding.
Okay.
Open that link, and you tap, and it takes you to this page. This is what you've been looking for. How can I stop my employer from withholding for the IRS? And all the paperwork and instruction is right there. I have a step-by-step explanation and a video on the topic, how to do it, okay? And if you become one of our Restore Freedom Plan members, you know, then everything will be done for you, with you, assist you in the process. So this page,
fantastic.
You get for free to plug yourself, okay?
Excellent. I just haven't had a chance to get through it. All right, thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. If you have any more callers, guys, Erica 225, and we're going to go back in a minute, try the call from Erica 209. Is he still there? He might be there when we done with 225, okay? Call from Erica 225.
Yes.
Give your first name, how you hear about us, and then your question, please.
Hi, Payman. This is Brett, and heard about you through Stu Peter's show. And what I'm calling about is regarding state taxes in Louisiana. Wondering if you know anything about that and if I owe for that.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I do. Yes, I do know about Louisiana somewhat. What's your question?
Wondering if I owe income taxes in Louisiana or state taxes in Louisiana.
So your question is whether because you do not owe any federal income tax, you don't owe any tax to Louisiana either. No, I don't think you do, okay? Louisiana income tax form. So generally most pages, they tag along their state tax forms. The form, okay. The forms of state of Louisiana piggyback on the federal law. So they ask you to put the number from the federal tax return on your Louisiana state tax return. Since you do not have a federal income tax liability, the number on the federal income tax is zero, and the number you put on the state income tax will also be zero. So therefore, you have no requirement to fill out the state of Louisiana form with zeros on there, even according to their own instructions. Okay?
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm confused just a bit. And so anyhow, let me just, so I do have a situation, and that is that just by mistake, we forgot to pay our state income tax this year, which I think you just said we don't owe anyway. I think that's
right.
What you just told me. And so
right.
Anyway, just by mistake, we've always paid our state and federal income tax. And so by mistake, we didn't pay our state income tax. And so we got a letter. It was probably one of those generated letters like you talk about. It didn't have anybody's signature on it. You know, it's just, hey, you forgot to pay your state tax. You owe your state tax. And by the way, here is a penalty and a fine. And so now not only do you owe your state tax, you owe the penalty and the fine as well. And you have 30 days to resolve it. And so that's kind of where I am right now and just wondering, you know, what my next step should be, you know, or should be, just in regards to just all this, you know, new information that I'm learning from you, which I appreciate very much. I'm just wondering, you know, what my next step should be, you know, just and how I can just verify, you know, I really appreciate just all the education you're giving us and, you know, on the federal income tax. And I'm just wondering how I can just verify, you know, that I do not owe the state tax in Louisiana.
The letter that you have from the state, do you have it near you right now?
I do.
Okay. Bring it up. Ideally, you should have sent the letter to me before you talk. Because without seeing that letter, I'm amiss as to what's going on, what they're claiming against you. Because people easily misinterpret these letters. Does the letter in any way uses these kind of forms in the heading? Is it assessment, proposed assessment, anything like that, name, notice, deficiency, assessment notice, anything like that? On the front page,
the
first page.
Front page.
What's the heading of the letter?
I'm sorry?
What is the heading of the letter?
Okay, I have three pages, and page one, the heading is statement of account.
Then
and
that
tells at the bottom.
At the bottom, what? It says how
at
much.
The bottom
you
it says. At the bottom it says make check payable to. Then it says Louisiana Department of Revenue and an address. Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Is that the first letter you got from them, or you got other ones before this?
Yes, this is the first letter I've ever gotten from federal or state.
So what year is it for?
It's for last year.
2021?
Yes.
I found that odd that they would come at you for 2021 so quickly.
And that's something.
The deadline is April 18th, and the extension is to October 15th. and they don't come after people that quickly. So I really don't know at this point what's going on, what to do. At this point, I would not bother with it. I would not have a heart attack or lose sleep over it. But I really should do a one-on-one private consultation with you to look at this and everything else you filed with the IRS and state and your work situation to see what is going on here. Because this is very, very strange. How would they even so quickly, here you are, when April 18th was the deadline to file a federal tax return, in June, 2 months later, say you owe this much money without even giving you a tax proposal letter, which is supposed to give you a proposal letter. So something about what you're saying does not jive. I cannot figure that out with just blind without seeing what letters you got back and forth. I need to see that and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I understand. And so, yeah, that's weird, right? So this is my first communication from them, and it's a statement of account. Just saying, hey, you owe your $1,490 plus penalty and interest, and so about $1,520. That's what they say that you can make your check payable for. Make your check payable, you know, for that amount, and then we're cool. And yeah, it's strange, I guess. I guess that they would be so quick to respond, I guess. I mean, I've never had anything, any correspondence with or federal IRS or Louisiana Revenue, Department of Revenue. And so it's just interesting that I guess that they responded so quickly, wanting that, that little $1,500.
We got to get other people's calls. Do you have any other questions, my friend?
Okay, so what is your advice or what is your guidance to me at this point? Are you needing to see this?
Yes.
Okay, so how do I get it to you?
Contact our office at our website. On our website, there's a contact page. Just email it to us. And some more details.
Okay.
And next week with that letter from me, I can try to help you for free a little bit more. Or you can do a paid consultation if you want for 1 hour. It's up to you. But I'll check it out for free if you want next week if you get it to me by email. I'd live freenow.org on the contact page. You can attach it as the email and write whatever else you want, the explanations, the details, and I'll go over it next week.
Okay, I'll do that, and I really just appreciate just what you're doing for all of us. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, this is the one and only correspondence ever that I've ever gotten. So I'm sure this will be fascinating for you to see when I send you this first correspondence ever.
I think it's a mistake to me, but I don't know. I wouldn't worry sleep over it if I was.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
They got to give you a proposal letter. They always must, by law, give you a proposal letter to give you a chance to ask for a hearing or appeal and challenge them. They give you 30, 45, 60, or 90 days, all the states, to challenge them before they even get to a collection stage. You haven't had any of those letters. So that's computer error at this point. I would not worry about this letter.
Yeah, it just said that after 30 days, they'll send it to collections. It does say that. I will email it to you, sir.
Okay, you got it.
Thank you.
Let's go back to it. You're welcome, Brett. My pleasure, my friend. Let's go to a call from Fresno area, area code 209. Are you there? Here's a call from area code 209. Still not there. Have any other calls besides him, guys? No other calls with questions? So I put the number on the screen one more time, folks. So if you have any last questions, folks, ask right now. I'll be at the Red Pill Expo, folks. Let me tell you guys all about that. RedPillExpo.org is where I'm going to be at. Along with a bunch of great speakers at Indianapolis. Let me put that screen for you. Here we go. July 9th and 10th. Yes. We have another caller, so let me tell you guys about the event. So a lot of great speakers, folks, you know, topics, things you want to hear, the truth, you will hear it at this event, okay? Also, the other one is Nation in Crisis. What's the website of that, guys? Nationinaction.org, that's right. Nationinaction.org is the other one I'm going to be this weekend, okay? All right. Oops. Okay. Let me see. Nationsinaction.org. Okay, let's go there. All right. Nations in Action. There we go. That's the website. Okay. Maria Zach is doing putting a great event together. Solutions and Strategy Summit. Yep. So go there, folks. You're going to hear from me and other speakers you want to hear from, folks. Nationsinaction.org. Now, who is the caller we have right now waiting for to ask a question? 919 and 330 and call from area code 845. Very good. Call from area code 919. You are first, your first name. I heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hey, Paymon. My name is Michael. I heard of you on YouTube searching information about notice of deficiency and other IRS-related issues. My question is, let's say someone has followed your procedure to notify Congress of the illegal withholding and income tax, the misapplication of the laws. They have not responded. And then they've gone to their employer, quote unquote, and notified them that, you know, they're exempt. They've given them the W-4 under duress, and they say, well, we can't honor this W-4 because you are in the withholding compliance program. And we got a letter at the beginning of the year from the IRS saying that you are not exempt. You don't qualify for exemption. It's a withholding compliance. My question is, should someone take that up with the employer and try to convince them that they're not required to withhold, or should said person get the IRS to send them a letter? That they're exempt based on XYZ reasons.
You will not be able to get IRS to do anything for you. IRS will require you to file 10-4 income tax confession trap forms for a minimum of 3 years before they even allow you to do anything about the lock in there that you got. My number one recommendation for you is to change jobs. How much does the job pay you and what do you do for a living?
What's the question?
What do you do for this company and how much do you make?
Let's say an account manager, and I can make anywhere from $100,000 to $400,000 a year.
Are you in sales, salaried, or combination?
Yes. Both.
Sales. Combination?
Yeah, salary plus commission.
Yeah. We have to work with your employer somehow. It won't be easy. Okay? Or we can minimize it because your salary maybe, it may do that salary maybe, but not the commissions. Maybe you can go on 100% commissions instead. That way there'd be no withholding at all, period. Have you thought about that?
Why would they agree to that for commissions but not salary when it doesn't apply to either one?
Because they're brainwashed?
Oh.
You know, now they're brainwashed.
I mean,
it's
well,
that simple.
What if they've been presented all of the information and they just simply disagree that, you know, on the definition of employee, for example, okay, we've seen your evidence. We disagree with it, but we're not going to provide any counter evidence.
Hold on, Michael. Look, I cannot go based on what if I've done this, what if I've done that. Bottom line is that I cannot help you without seeing the details of what's going on. I'm not a magician. Guys, I'm not a magician, folks. God, I'm not a magician. You just give something any problem with the employers or third parties, make them go away. They are brainwashed. It takes work to convince them, to educate them. Someone like me. Sometimes I cannot do it either.
Yeah.
I mean, I do the magic. Anyhow, even after I get a paperwork, I may not be able to do anything there. Well, just a doctor. But I got to see.
I hear you, Paymon. I hear you 100%. No. You're right. 100%. I mean, it's down to the level of the individual and their ability to articulate the scenario and be convincing in the scenario. But I think, unfortunately, you've got a lot of legal counsels working for these companies who are so terrified of the IRS that they
right.
are not willing to change the relationship with the IRS for a small minority of people who are challenging them. But that shouldn't mean that we shouldn't try.
Right. And that's exactly
yeah.
We try. Look, I got other people that lock your letters like you, and we've written it to them, to the head of the company, to the legal counsel of the company. We're pushing. We may have to do lawsuits. Lawsuits are expensive.
Right.
The time, they're difficult and very time-consuming to research and write and litigate. And you're going against
yeah.
the judges that are biased for government to begin with. You got to make sure you got every corner covered to let the judge not change your argument to something else and rule against you. It's very difficult. So, I don't have an answer for Lockham. That's the one thing I don't have a good, clear answer. These Lockham letters. I'll tell you honestly, when someone I'm afraid of the IRS. I'll have to steal your money because IRS will rape me. So I'd rather you be raped so I don't get raped. And that's all I see. It's all feeling. It's all fear. No logic. No thinking. I'm not a magician. How can I convince someone who's afraid of dying of doing something different than what they think is best for them? Right?
Yep.
So
yep.
You may have to change jobs. You may have to just accept it, or you may fight back. But I cannot help you with fight back or anything else unless I see paperwork. I highly recommend a one-on-one private consultation. Okay, you certainly make enough money to be able to afford that. So before you get a lot more, your money is taken out of you by force. You're further raped some more. Why don't you just do a one-on-one paid consultation with me? See what I can do for you. Go see a doctor. That's my best suggestion.
Thank you, Paymon. Keep up the good work.
You're welcome. Thank you, my friend. I wish I could do more of a easy answer for you, but there is no other quick, easy answer for this lock and letter situation, unfortunately. In fact, that is what I see long term. With the IRS, it will fall apart. And unless we win one of these lawsuits, which I plan for lock and letters, that's going to take years, by the way, to go through and win. Because the judges will slow walk these cases. That's the IRS's strength. Everything else, I can beat them. A lock and letters is based on employers' fear. Those are big employers, mega corporations. You're going against the wall. So that's why I say one option, take your talents to a different company that deserves you. You break the lock and letter at the new employer. Yes, I want to pay you decent money, Michael. I understand that, but right now is a good job market. 10 years ago, we were in a Great Depression. You couldn't get a job no matter what, but now you can. So I suggest you look for other opportunities and let these guys know, you lost me. You didn't listen. You didn't think. You lost me. You're going to make lose a lot of money. You should have worked with me. Okay? And this other company will take you happily because there's a shortage of workers these days. All right? So that's my best suggestion to you. If you don't do a consultation with me, look for a better job that or equivalent job that will respect you and appreciate you for you and your talents. Okay, from 330 area code, what's your first name and how you heard about us and your question?
Yeah, this is Jonathan. I found you on YouTube. You know, just been watching you for a while through the. I found you through the, you know, through the ranks of rabbit hole diving. But I wanted to get your opinion. So, even to the point of the previous caller Michael's point and like what's going on, it seems like there needs to be some sort of end game to this because as it stands now, everybody involved in the movement or who understands what's going on wants to do something about it or like wants to revolt against it, but it's very difficult on an individual basis to make any kind of a structural change. So like, what's stopping something from like a class action lawsuit? Because it seems like there's like it's complete misrepresentation from the IRS and they know it, but it's like nobody's willing to call them on it. Like I remember back in the late 90s, I think it was 99 or 2000. There was an article taken out, or there was a full-page ad taken out in the Wall Street Journal, and it was like, hey, if anybody can point to the law that requires you to pay an income tax, they'll pay them, you know, they were offering like $1 million or something like that. And I'll never forget that, like, but it just got hushed away. But it's like, I feel that there needs to be some kind of a national something or other, and I feel like a class action, I mean, who wouldn't be on board with that? Anyway, I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think the future of the movement is and how you see reconciliation or how you see it play out.
Well, they answered in front of you. From Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, Chapter 76, Judicial Proceedings, okay? And Subchapter B, Proceedings by Taxpayers and Third Parties, right? So there's a law that I hate, okay? Calls the IRS Code, Internal Revenue Code Section 7421, which says, except as provided in Section so-and-so, whatever. No suit or lawsuit for the purpose of restraining, not stopping, but restraining or slowing down the assessment or collection of any tax that be maintained in any court by any person, whether or not such person is the person against whom such tax was assessed. And the crooked government paid by its courts, they apply this to the hilt. If you claim I'm not a taxpayer, this doesn't apply to me. They ignore it anyways. I know that from the get-go going in. So that's why you cannot do that. Because we lost the control of our government. We no longer have a government of, by, and for we the people. You know, when I was a kid in Iran, child, I used to see in the TV that in the Soviet Union, they would call these dictators honorable this, honorable that. You know, like Arab people have any more honor than the average person in Russia. Now, I came to America in 1977, and there was no such thing either. Free government, supposedly, but free. Then I noticed in 1990s, you know, and 2000 years, they start calling everybody an honorable congressman, honorable senator, honorable head of the FBI. What the heck? What is this? I mean, these guys have no honorable. Government workers, it doesn't become honorable. And the same thing happened over there. It's happening here where I thought the communists would never prosecute each other for their crimes. The government workers of the Soviet Union commit the crimes that cover up for each other. Same thing here going on. And have FBI and CIA lied to Congress openly. You know, Clapper, all these guys. I mean, head of FBI, what's his name? Comey admits in front of Congress, I broke the law. Gave government files to my professor reporter to give to a newspaper. Right there, he should have been arrested by the House of Senate hearing, whoever it was, the Senate or House member, arrest him. He just admitted to a crime. But they don't. They don't try each other. Come on, folks. Wake up. This is not America anymore. The over, folks. That's making them do that stuff. That's why you don't do it by these one class action lawsuits. Just get rid of it face-to-face, head-on. No. You beat them by resistance, by the same tactic of the character of Mel Gibson in the movie Patriot. Guerrilla warfare. Here and there, you weaken them. You win every little battle here, you skirmish there. Okay? You stop withholding from your own pay. You work for yourself? Don't say my salary.
You have to.
The job. So there's no easy, quick solutions. Got it? So I wish there was, but there isn't. We're doing it little by little time, and once the people understand that this is no longer your government. Once enough Americans get it and stop sending their hard-earned money to their enemies to further enslave and destroy them, then we're going to have freedom. But until then, there's no quick fix solutions out there, okay?
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time, man. It makes perfect sense, so thank you.
Look, my friend, my pleasure.
Right,
sorry, I got up on that, my friend. But, you know, I tell you what, folks, I realized U.S. government is a criminal government decades ago. Folks, American people need to wake up. You need to tell your friends, the U.S. government is not your friend. It's not your protector. They're criminals. Literally criminals in high places. Unless you wake up and recognize that and take action, it's going to get worse. Okay? You have a right and a duty, like founding fathers, to do not support them. This process of petitioning a congressman is exactly what the founding fathers did. They wrote to the king, you're not fit to be a king if you violate our rights. And eventually the king ignored him and led to a violent revolution. We can avoid that if enough people just wake up and could be so gullible, and trust the corrupt and say, no more. You're not my system. You're not my president. I'm not going to support you guys anymore. Okay? I'm going to withhold my money from you guys, my support, and give it to organizations and camp people that have want to do something and restore our rights and freedom. Okay? So thank you for bringing that issue up. That was a very good question that you brought to 4A, Jonathan. We have also another call from area code 845. Your first name. I heard about it, and then your question, please.
845. This is Andy from New York. I tripped upon your website looking through the Constitutional Law Group. And I just started watching your video last night. Very, very informative. I took a plethora of notes, and I was able to glean quite a few things from it. I try to review the videos again, but because I'm a truck driver who's helping to move America, or keep it at least going for now, my time is very limited. I do about a 10, 11-hour day.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Help you. Yes. And how can I help
okay,
you?
So basically, I too work for an employer. I don't work for myself. And when I first started, I kind of spoke to them about doing the I-9 form with and through the passport. I am in the process of now changing what they call the status to an American state national. My question is, would I be able to, once I have that passport in hand with the state national status on it, would I be able to go in and change my I-9 form and then also go ahead and change my current elections to exempt?
Okay. First of all, you don't need to do anything about your status. Your status is just fine as it is, Andy. Great news. You were already an American national and U.S. citizen and a state citizen of New York, okay, just like I'm a Floridian and a U.S. citizen and national all at the same time. There's no need to change anything. There's no need for you to try to get a green passport as a U.S. national. You're already a U.S. national. Okay? So unfortunately, there's so much of these baseless legal theories out there what I call patriot mythologies, which are as baseless as the Tooth Fairy Easter Bunny theories. Okay? So congratulations from you come across us. I've been doing this for 30 years. I've seen people do this nonsense about I'm a sovereign citizen, U.S. national, state citizen, UCC, bankruptcy of the United States, name it all caps, straw man, yellow print flag, birth certificate, surety bond, not using zip code on me, I'm on mail, and on and on and on. All that. It's nonsense. Adhesion contract theory, nonsense. And that's what gets people in trouble. Because people know something is wrong, but they don't know what to do about it.
So the right. So what you're saying is that this changes nothing?
Nothing. I-9 is not a problem for immigration and nationality purposes. You and me are U.S. and citizen and nationals at the same time. You can fill it out the form just fine. It will not affect your income tax situation at all whatsoever. Stop the withholding, as you heard me and answer somebody else. You can go to our website at livefreenow.org and show you how to stop the withholding from your paycheck lawfully and correctly. Just follow that process. Number two, you said you had a limited time with a truck driver. Quite the contrary, my friend. You have a lot of time on your hands. As a truck driver, you got all the time to educate yourself. Truck drivers, educated people in America, I know, because you and that truck sitting there, you're bored, your body's stuck, but your brain is still working and likes to be stimulated. You can listen to all this good stuff and be like Matrix in the movie Neo, and you can be plugged in the back with the knowledge and say, I know the law. I know freedom. I know what to do. You see? So use that time in the truck driving. Listen. Go over the start from the front page right there. And you're going to do great, my friend. Just all that from a home page. Here. Go there. Start from our front page at livefreenow.org. Start with the videos right there on the front page every step of the way. And you'll be free. You don't have to do anything else except educate yourself at this time, Andy. Okay, no blocks. I will continue. Besides, okay. So, any other questions, Andy? Okay, I guess Andy is no longer with us. Do you have any more callers? Or this is it. Yeah, this is for tonight. 713. Call. Okay. All right, my friend, your first name, America 713, how you heard about us, and your question.
Hi, my name's James. I'm from Houston, Texas. Heard about you, I guess, from a Telegram channel that I follow. I'm not really sure which one. But my question is, I'm a business owner of 33 years, got about 75 employees, and I was wondering how this applies to a business. And I also have a partner, my brother, which I've discussed this a little bit with him, but he's not too keen with the whole situation.
All right. Is your business a corporation, LLC? What is it?
S-corporation. S-corporation.
You know, you don't have, doesn't change anything. As long as you are not a citizen or resident of Washington, D.C., as long as you do not perform functions of federal public office, like a military contractor, you and your company and your brother and your partners do not have to file and pay any income tax whatsoever.
Okay. So what about all the employees when we do payroll and stuff that you still withhold their taxes from them, the ones that don't want to do this, or – is that how that works?
Your employees are very fortunate. Very fortunate to be working for you. because they're going to get an immediate pay raise of 20% or more in their pay because of the fact that you are going to stop forcing them to fill out a W-4 IRS form, which by law they're not required to fill out in the first place. You will stop stealing out their paycheck, regular income tax, Social Security, unemployment, all the taxes you stop, period, federal taxes of all kinds out of their paycheck. They get their entire paycheck because of you, and no false W-2s will be sent by you to the IRS saying that you paid them taxable income that you did not pay them in the first place. So they're blessed because of you.
Okay. So what about the accountant that runs our payroll? How do she's going to – I don't know how that's – how does that work out? I guess I just have to find somebody that – I don't know.
Well,
we don't do our own payroll. Our CPA does our payroll for us. And so she does take care of all the withholding and taxes and everything like that.
What state are you in, by the way, James?
Texas,
okay. All right. There's no state income tax in Texas anyhow, so you have no worries about there. Your accountant, you have a choice. You can keep him or her to perform the bookkeeping and accounting information analysis recording that you want and need for you to know how much you're making from what sources, your expenses, you know, for your uses of where your money is coming and going for those purposes.
Right.
But for other purposes, you can fire them altogether or tell them don't do it. You don't want or need any IRS-related work at all. 90%+ of the accounting that these guys do is not for you, for the IRS.
Right.
None of that is necessary. So you can get rid of – you can tell them to do this only. Or if you want, you can get rid of them, and I give you another accountant that I know, accountants that will be happy to do your stuff for you. Your payroll will be very simplified with all the withholding nonsense from people's paychecks. What you need accounting for? Out the hours or what the salary is? Cut them a check every month,
right,
whatever period. Done. Simple. Save yourself a bunch of money from these people that you don't even need them in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't have to file nothing with the IRS, period, ever again.
That's right.
Okay. All right, yeah, I had called your office earlier this week, and I don't know, remember the lady's name that I spoke to. She was supposed to send me some more information. She said it was relatively new with the business end of this with a student being one of your students, so something new, and that she was going to send me information, but I never did receive it. So I think her name was Kara. Was it Kara that works your office?
Kara or Tessa? Which one was it? Do you remember?
Yeah, Kara, I believe. I talked with her
right
earlier this week.
All right.
And anyway, she was supposed to send me some information, and I never did receive it.
Sorry about that. Do me a favor. Call tomorrow and ask for Rachel or Benny, and they'll take care of you. I promise.
Okay.
You.
I'll try to. I'm leaving on vacation as you are tomorrow. So if not, I'll try to catch him when I get back.
No problem. No problem. Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. You answered all my questions. Appreciate you.
You're welcome, James. My pleasure. Do you have any other callers? Another call for you from America 207, my friend. What is your first name? How you heard about us? And then your question, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. This is Laura, and I found you on YouTube, and I've been watching your show for a while.
Very good.
How may I help you? I got this weird letter from the IRS that says, and I posted something in the chat on it, and it says certified mail. Date of claims received, April 20th, 2020, for tax period, December 2015. And it said, we can't allow your claim for $80. And I'm like, It was for an overpayment. And they sent me like 7 pages of stuff.
Look,
I can prepare a formal protest.
Laura,
what is it?
I don't know what you got because I'm not seeing it. I need to see the paperwork that you got that refers to your claim. And I do not know what your claim was that they're referring to in the first place. But I can tell you this. I've seen many times IRS send bogus garbage to people. Like about your claim, never made it in the first place. I've seen that. So
okay.
IRS could be completely off the wall. I don't know what you did or claimed about 2015 or nothing. But anyhow, it's only $80. It's a dumb computer generated letter that looks like went out by mistake. I would not lose sleep over this at all.
Okay, so I should just ignore it.
I would. I mean, you want to send it to me next week on the call? I can go over it in the Freedom Hour. I can review it if you want, but why lose sleep over $80? That's even nonsense.
Right. I just thought it was odd.
All right. Have you stopped filing your paid income tax?
Have I what?
Have you stopped filing and paying income tax?
No. Yeah, I stopped paying it this year.
Focus on educating yourself and preparing yourself and go to 7-Step on our website. Okay? And, you know, tell other people. For yourself.
I will. I try to tell everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. My pleasure. All
right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. That's it? Okay. Well, guys and gals, I love you all. Thank you for taking your time from your very busy schedules to educate yourself. Give me the opportunity to be a source of education, inspiration, and solutions for you that works. I cannot make you free because at the end, with all the work and education I've done, the key is in your hands. You're the one that got to make a decision to continue on this journey, the freedom that you started to be free. So I want to encourage you to continue on this path. On your drive anywhere, put our videos on and listen to them as you drive. And then when you get to eat at lunch or dinner, put your cell phone up or computer and watch things on the screen. Power yourself. And you will, I promise you, if you do that, you will have and enjoy the freedom, peace of mind, harmony, and prosperity you're looking for. So go forward, my friend. I'll be back with you next week.